Today on Real Radio.
In this parable, we are going to learn that how God has forgiven us, we are mandated by God to forgive others.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, which is the context of our study here today, is among the New Testament passages that feature more than one parable. And today's lesson focuses on verses 22 through 35. But we're also taking into account some earlier verses where we read of a little conversation between Jesus and Peter about forgiveness. This compelled our Lord to tell the parable of the unmerciful servant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Someone has sinned against you, lied about you, gossiped about you, offended you. Listen, you and I, we have lied about someone else. You say, what? I'm making a point not to lie. You and George Washington, I understand that. But here's the deal. There's times when you and I have said things with passion and what we thought was absolute truth, and then only later to find out that it was wrong. Boy, is that not happening today in our internet world? Things get out there in a second, and then you find out the truth a few days or a few months later. People are, quote, quoting others, when in reality, that person is misquoting. The person that they're quoting never said that thing or whatever it might be. People, I told you before, I had someone take my name and send a very belligerent letter to a very world-famous leader in the church, put my name on it, and that man was horribly offended, and thank God he and I got together, and I got a chance to tell him, I didn't write that. And look, that may be happening to you. You may be sitting right here all comfortable, but somebody is sinning, using your name, or against you, or gossip, or rumors. We may not even intend to, but we say things that we ought not to be saying. We say things like, for example, well, we need to, you know, we really need to pray for Bobby. And I'm making that up right now. I'm not saying anybody here. No one told me nothing, but I'm making Bobby up. We need to really pray about Bobby. And someone naturally is going to say, well, what about Bobby? Oh, you haven't heard? You hear what I'm saying? Immediately, that goes to sin. Gossip. We need to be very careful. I'm telling you, I know we won't get through the message tonight, the next few weeks. It's okay, because you know what? If we obey what's being said here tonight in this teaching of Jesus, it may not only revolutionize your life and my life, it could very well lead to a revival in our hearts and in this church. Think about it. If we decide to obey God in this thing, which I believe personally is one of the greatest hindrances to the advancement of the church in our age today, is that the church is full of unrecognized sin, if that's even possible to say, because we have either said things or we've done things or someone has done something against us and we've not handled it rightly. In verse 21, look at it now. I just gave you the setting. Here's the question. Thank God. Peter's so cute. I love this guy. Jesus is teaching what he's teaching, and Peter's still hung up on verse 15. He's what? Wait, what? That's great. He says, remember, verse 15 says, more of your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault privately. Peter never heard anything after that. We know so much about how we ought to walk because of Peter. Isn't he great? I love that guy. I can't wait to meet him. It's going to be great to meet him. Look at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, notice the other guys didn't. They're all acting like they knew what Jesus was talking about. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? This is huge, because first of all, there's no doubt about it. Peter is thinking, I'm going to be very generous now. And I'm going to look real good in front of these disciples and Jesus. So if I know someone, Jesus, who sins against me, do I forgive him up to seven times? Here's the answer. Verse 22. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven, 490. Some of you are doing the math already. Okay, I'm really thinking. I forgave that guy probably about 489 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, here's the parable begins, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, by the way, this is speaking about the end of the age, who was brought to him, who owed him 10,000 talents. What does that mean? It simply means this. It is an amount, and it doesn't matter what culture. If it's Roman, if it's 2,000 years ago, if it's Roman, or if it's Jewish, in the context, it doesn't matter. Whatever the culture is, the math is multiple lifetimes. What is owed is multiple lifetimes of giving back. It's impossible. You understand that? You can't, in the scenario Jesus is painting, there's no way that this guy can get out of his debt. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and that all that they had, and that the payment be made. Wow. Sounds like the American economy. Sounds like our debt. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. Now this is kind of stupid that this guy's even thinking this way. Have patience with me, like about 100 lifetimes worth? It's beyond my ability to pay. I will pay you all. That's impossible. The whole situation's impossible. Verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, his buddies that he knew, who owed him 100 denarii, $4. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down, sound familiar? At his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Verse 32, then his master, this is the generous one, you know, in the beginning, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of the debt because you begged me. And should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each, if you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is one of the longest parables. It is certainly, in my opinion, if you could put a priority on them, at least in our culture, in our age, one of the most important for sure. Listen, mark this down if you would. Our view and our value of forgiveness, church, as an individual or as a church, is inseparably tied to our hatred and our disdain for sin. If you and I do not hate and disdain sin and understand what sin did to God, then you and I will not have a very big, high value or estimation of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Listen, when we meditate, and I know we don't often do that anymore, but we need to do that. We need to nurture that. When we meditate on what God has done for us, when we really take it in, stop and pause, and begin to saturate yourself in what God has done for us at the cross. Jesus, the brutality, the torture, the mutilation of innocence at the cross. What he did for us was of such great expense because sin is so hideous and so bad that God endured the punishment because of his great love for you and for me. Can I put it this way in the human term? He tolerated the abuse to gain salvation for you. That's how valuable you are. Now watch, when you and I begin to realize our part, and I think this is the only way that you and I can truly experience salvation. That may be a tough thing to say, but hear me out. Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. I mean, for crying out loud, I heard the other day, passing through a radio station, even the band, the rock band from the 90s, Depeche Mode, said that Jesus was a personal Jesus. If a rock band knows that, you better know that too. He died for the sins of the world. That's true. But that doesn't give you eternal life. That doesn't give you anything until you understand, until I understand that it's my sin that put him on the cross. Forget about everybody else. Forget about the husband or the wife or the stranger sitting next to you right now. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin put him on the cross. Look, I'm glad he died for you, but I'm very, very glad he died for me. And until you understand that he died for you, not in some massive collective sense, but he went to the cross, theologically accurate, if you would have been the only child of Adam and Eve and sinned, he would have gone to the cross for you. Well, Pastor, I don't know. You know, you may be really alluding to some ginormous sins of your own, but I'm not that bad of a person. You're probably lost. You probably don't get it. How can you experience salvation when you've not appreciated the Savior? I put him there. That's what my Bible teaches me. And listen, that's what my conscience bears witness to. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And Jesus is saying, this man who had been forgiven such a vast amount of an impossible magnitude of debt, then goes out and chokes his co-servant, someone who is a peer, and grabs him and violently grabs him by the throat and shakes him and says, give me my $4. See, here's the danger. In this parable, we are going to learn that how God has forgiven us, we are mandated by God to forgive others. And this is now, you feel it already. This is where this begins to get us. Because the temptation is to not follow God in this one because we'll emotionally think, I know better. I've been hurt so bad. That person beat me. That person molested me. That person robbed me. That person took my child or took what? Fill in the book. Doesn't matter. You have to understand something. If you hang with me these next few weeks, you have to understand there may be, you may be on the brink of a radical spiritual explosion in your life because maybe up until now you've completely misunderstood what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness is a power. Forgiveness is a liberator. And for any of us and we've all been tempted to fold up our arms and build up that wall and say, I will not forgive that person. We have missed it. God has given us the ability to forgive that we might be freed from the power of that person's sin against us. Now listen, I have to say this. This is some house cleaning here tonight. There are people, and I know, there are people who attend this church and they come every week. And they live in sin he has his affairs going on, or she's got her affairs going on, and then they turn. The one who is having an affair turns and says, "You heard him tonight. You heard the sermon, didn't you? You have to forgive me. And by the way, you'll have to forgive me next week when I go out with her again or with him again. And you'll have to forgive me the week after that." This happens in people's lives who say they're Christians. The Bible says they are not Christians, but they have in fact deceived themselves. That's house cleaning tonight. That's church family stuff. I can do whatever I want, and you have to forgive me. Listen, this is not the context of what we're talking about. We're talking about believers here. And by the way, this parable has nothing to do with salvation and having it and losing it. It has to do with fellowship and relationship between brothers or sisters in the family of God. Don't read into this parable what's not to be read into it. This is serious stuff. So we've made it to now point number one. And at this pace, we'll be here for a month. The parable of the unmerciful servant, verses 22 to 25, is this, church. Be like Jesus. That's what Jesus is inviting us to do. Be like Jesus and be forgiving. Will you write that down, please? Be forgiving. Christians are to be forgiving. We are unlike all other people on earth. The Christian is mandated to be forgiven. Not because God bends our arm and says, forgive them because I told you to. But the Christian obeys this command to forgive because we lean back upon, listen, even when our emotions say, I'd rather see that person who hurt me rot in hell and be run over by a truck. That's what your emotions say. The Bible, Jesus said, we are to pray for those who spitefully use us. There's no other religion on the planet. There's no other faith in the world that has that standard, because God, what's going on? Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, says, listen, you want to follow me? Then you forgive like I forgive. And you say, I can't do it. I agree with you. I can't do it either. It's impossible for us to do it without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. But let me tell you, oh, please hear me. If you tonight begin to have this at least, Lord, I have unforgiveness in my heart toward that person or toward those people or toward that whatever, and I'm asking you, I'm hearing this message, and I'm asking you, God, because I just grinds my teeth, I hear their name, and I just seethe, and I just get angry, and Lord, you know I'm justified. They really did this to me. They really hurt me. That if I could, I'd grab them by the neck, and I would shake them. In Jesus' name, I would lay hands on them. Right? That's how you feel. But God, I'm asking you, listen, can we all do this? This is where we begin. God, I'm asking you, will you make my heart willing to be like Jesus and be forgiving? Corrie ten Boom, read about her life. Her sister, during the German rise, the Nazi rise in World War II, her sister, when the Nazis came into their town, beat them all up, by the way, and molested them all, but raped her sister to death, the SS. And Corrie wound up meeting up years later with some of the abusers. It was in a church service in Europe. Can you believe that? The plan of God. And she writes about how she was incredibly filled with the love of God for those SS officers and forgiveness. That's impossible without the work of God. And that's the joy and the beauty of what we're talking about tonight. I can't forgive that person. I can never let that go. Listen, that's true in your humanity. That's right. But listen, God, the Holy Spirit, will give you the power to forgive. And at the same very time that he does that, he will open your eyes to the understanding of how much he has forgiven you. You see, that's the thing. When I begin to understand how much God has forgiven me, now I find that I can turn to those who have offended me and hurt me. This is discipleship, church. I don't care what you say or what books you write or what things you preach or what this you're on or what big audience you've got or what group you're in or whatever it is or what your name is or what your status is. You can't, listen, you and I can't do this, then listen, we are not even worthy to bear the name of Jesus. He is forgiving and He forgives. He's awesome. He refers to Himself as a certain king. He answers Peter, listen, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And he begins now to illustrate by saying there was a certain king, as I relate to you regarding the kingdom of heaven. There's a certain king. And he's saying here that there came time to settle the accounts. By the way, the word implies a king of overwhelming wealth, beyond. Well, how do you know? Because, watch this, you hear the gospel in the parable. The man owes the king, the servant owes the master, the king, so much that it would take him 100 lifetimes to pay him back. That's big bucks. And the master says, I forgive the debt. That means that we're looking at and we're considering the grace of God. How rich is Jesus concerning His ability to forgive? The answer is unlimited. You think Bill Gates has got a lot of money? Listen, what Bill Gates thinks he has in money, God has in forgiveness a billion times innumerable numbers more. There is no sin, hear me out, there is no sin that you and I could have ever committed or commit that is unable to be washed by the blood of Jesus if we repent. Now, I'm not saying go out and sin because His blood will cover. No, 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 you can't do that. But He's that rich in forgiveness. So there's no doubt Peter is thinking, and this is beautiful, mark this down. You can kind of get inside Peter's mind. Peter's Jewish. He knows the scriptures. And so, you think Peter pulled that number out of nowhere, seven? Oh, no, 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 this is a big deal. Are you listening? This is fun stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. It's a look at Matthew 18, verses 22 through 35. The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant is actually a series within a series, and part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just last week, we presented to you part of Pastor Jack's series called Love Beyond Measure. Of course, it was in commemoration of Passion Week. And we want to let you know that our offer still stands, the entire series Love Beyond Measure. It's a four-part series that explores the messianic status and claims of Jesus of Nazareth, His final atonement for sin, what the Passover means, why He is called the Lamb of God, and so on. And all of them are yours on DVD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, the Love Beyond Measure series. It's Pastor Jack's collection of Passion Week lessons on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.